Remember last week?
I do, vaguely.
We played the new Sean Rao cut.
Oh, yeah, Horses.
Yeah, and it reminded me of something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan here with Robin Hilton. That part there. Did you have any thoughts? Did you...
I see the world and I want to paint it.
Right, yeah, it sort of sounds like I didn't thought about. And yeah, we got a couple of those on the All Songs page, Paint It Black by the Stones. But just like 6 months before that came out, this song came out. My world is empty
without you, babe. Oh yeah. That's actually closer than Paint It Black.
Is there a happier music on the planet?
How many times have we recorded the show? How many years have I known you? And I've never seen you boogie like you just did.
Wow. It feels good.
Well, the Supremes. It's hard to beat the Supremes.
Yeah, amazing. Well, let's try. I've got some new music for us.
I've got a band that actually has a sound taken right from that same period.
You do?
Shazam! Not at all. I've got an artist who gets a lot. I can do this. I can totally do this. I've got an artist who takes a lot of his inspiration from that same period, mid to late 60s into the early 70s. He goes by the name Lawrence Arabia. He's got a new record coming out at the end of July. It's called The Sparrow, and this song is Lick Your Wounds.
Thank you.
Lawrence Arabia band from New Zealand. It's essentially one guy named James Milne. What'd you think?
Yeah, I like them. I remember the first record they put out. I like that a lot. The string arrangements were really nice and different from what I remember from the first record.
Yeah, Chant Darling was the previous one. And, you know, it was a very Beatley record. And when they came in to play at Tiny Desk, I remember saying to you, you know, if it were 1968, this would be one of the top five bands in the in the country. Sound is so good, but this new record isn't quite like that. It's more. I think the string arrangements in particular remind me more of Serge Gainsbourg. Some of those horn parts too. It's very lush. But I read that James Milne said he was tired of working in Pro Tools, the digital editing audio editing software, because it's limitless possibilities. You can tweak it endlessly. You can recreate any sound.
You know, there are people who have been in their bedrooms for 20 years, and they're never going to come out. We'll never hear them. They're still working on that record.
Yes. Well, and he said this time he wanted to work with a limited palette, and this is what he came up with. It still sounds pretty lush to me, but great record. It's called The Sparrow.
When's it come out?
It comes out July 24th.
Excellent. So you think, thinking of Beatley things, you know, we pick independently. We have no idea what each other picks. I have George.
Or why.
We're not going to have that conversation, are we?
Sorry.
So I picked George Harrison's son.
Donnie.
New record under the name of The New Number 2. Do you know what The New Number 2 is all about?
Sure sounds familiar, but I don't have it.
Anyway, no. My favorite TV show on planet Earth was a show called The Prisoner.
When you said my favorite TV show ever, I immediately thought, oh, The Prisoner, because I know Bob loved The Prisoner. And it was.
It was.
So what's the connection?
Well, there was always a new number two. You never knew who number one was, but there was always a new number two on every show. So I assume that's the reference. I want to play the opening cut for us. It's called Station from The Fear of Missing Out.
Station. She's changing. Just face it. It's way taste.
Oh, good.
I had no idea it would sound anything like that. Total surprise.
Yeah, I was surprised, too. The first album, I Like Things About It, came out 2006. This one comes out the end of July by the new number two is Donnie Harrison. He's playing with some old childhood friends of his, Paul Hicks and Nick Fife. A lot of surprises all over the record. Full of, you can tell all these guys are geeks and they're like toys, and they've played with them to make something very successful and different.
Yeah.
This time around. They,
very angular. I wasn't expecting it to have quite that edge to it, but it's nice.
Guests, RZA is a guest vocalist on the record. Ben Harper.
Very nice.
Good. You know, I don't know how we started, but we did Beatles stuff, and we're both kind of Beatly nuts. And one of the other cuts that I've picked today reminds me in a small way of George Harrison. So can I take one more pick?
Yeah, go ahead.
What the heck? So Steve, Delicate Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I just saw him and his band in concert. Boy, if you get a chance, they come to your town. They're basically an instrumental band. Fierce drumming, incredible guitar play. You don't see guitars, melodic guitars, way up front. You hear lots of guitars that are big, bashy kind of guitars or real chunky rhythm guitars as front, but not melodic. And so all the lyrical lines are all guitar, and they're all by Steve Marriott, who better known as Delicate Steve. Let me play you a cut called Positive Force. Positive Force is a first listen we have, so you can hear the whole thing online right now on NPR's website. So go to npr.org and look for our first listen series. Every week, every Monday, we put up new stuff. Actually, every Sunday night.
Yeah, if you go late at Sunday night.
The name of the song we're going to play is called Afria Talks to You. Delegate Steve. You know, that is a record that isn't like anything else probably in your collection, right?
Well, when it started off, I said, this reminds you of George Harrison. But then when the slide kicked in, it was very familiar. But yeah, I listened to this record when it came in, and I didn't quite know what to make of it. I kept waiting for, I had forgotten that most of their stuff is instrumental. I kept waiting for some vocals to kick in on a lot of the tracks.
There's a little bit of sort of chorusy kind of singing, mm-hmm. but not much. Yeah. All the lyrical stuff pretty much happens in the guitar.
Yeah, it's nice. I'll definitely spend more time with it.
I follow him on Instagram. I don't know if you're an Instagram user.
Yeah,
and he's, you know, he lives on a horse farm with his folks, and so there's always like you hear this music, and then you see pictures of, you know, him and horses and grasslands and stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah. If anyone wants to follow me, I'm Tiny Desk on Instagram. And do that?
Yeah, I'm Hug Machine Music.
Hug Machine Music.
Yeah, I've only started, so I don't have a lot of photos or followers. But Hug Machine Music, if you want to. I will thrill and excite you with photos of my cat, which is pretty much all that I have up there right now.
You know, when I see people liking something on Instagram that I've put up, and I would decide whether I want to follow back, I usually look to see how many cat pictures there are, and that if they have a lot of cat pictures, I don't follow them.
Oh, well.
Yeah, sorry.
These are some really good cat photos, though.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Should I play something from a band called The Doe?
Sure.
And
how do you spell that?
This is just D-O, like the do, but doe, pronounced doe.
Oh, come on. Where are they from?
Well, it's a duo, half from France and half from Finland. And it's Doe with some little accent line through it, so D-O. And this is a record that actually came out last fall, and we don't normally play things that are, I mean, yeah, last fall feels like a lifetime ago. But, you know, I wasn't in all of last fall. I was out of the office for most of the fall, and I didn't see this record
at
the time.
Are you finally catching up?
And I'm finally catching up. This came to the top of my pile of CDs that I have on my desk, and I thought, oh, they must be reissuing it, but... No, it actually came out last November, but I loved it so much. It just made, you know, I grab CDs blindly and stick them in the player, and so I don't know who it is or what the artwork is like or anything. And this one, when I got to it, it made me stop everything I was doing and just listen to it. It was so captivating. The record's called Both Ways, Open Jaws, and I want to play a song called The Wicked and the Blind.
Silent instead.
Nice choice.
Wow, it just gets huge. Nice bill, and it gets really gritty in there. Yeah. And I love how off-kilter the drums are. I can't decide if he's, you know, just maybe not very good drummer and he keeps missing some beats, or if it's all intentional, and it's all intentional.
It is totally intentional.
It's so cool, and that makes that song for me. Yeah. The way he, all the drums are just a little off kilter, and that voice, that's Olivia Marilotti, and the person on most of the instruments is Dan Levy. You know, I could have just, when I came in, wiped my whole desk off and started all over, but I'm glad I left everything there.
We would have missed the dough spelled the do.
D-O. D-O. That record's called Both Ways Open Jaws.
How did you find out that it was called the dough?
You know, I asked somebody.
Investigative journalism.
I emailed somebody and said, is that dough like dough a deer? And But the band's on tour right now, so check them out. They come through town.
In this country?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to take us somewhere completely different, down a dark hallway in an apartment building. A fellow goes by the name of LP.
I almost picked this one too. Love it. Love this record.
Yeah, really interesting record. It's the thing that got me, and this is one of those, you know, lyrics versus whatever. I went right for the lyrics. Really creepy words. It's a story, right? And if you've heard it, you've heard the story, which is the song's called "For My Upstairs Neighbor." The first thing starts out. It's a scene, and the narrator is in a police room, basically saying, you know, you sort of asking the questions to the wrong guy. As it unfolds, you can tell that the song is about a murder that took place in his apartment building. And it's a song about domestic violence. And then in scene two of this, the creepy part about this whole song is that there's a scene where he passes the neighbor in the hallway, the woman, the victim is a guy, and he says to her, do the thing you have to do, and I swear I'll tell them nothing. And then the refrain, which I won't tell you now, is the one that puts chills up and down your spine. This is LP from the album Cancer for Cure by LP.
Like some water, please. This room is way too hot to be here sitting and explaining. There's no joy in repetition. Plus, you all know what I know, and that's a heaping pot of donut holes. I didn't even know them. I am not your perfect witness. Your team of fat blue buddies waddling around and trying to crack the case are better off locating someone else. I spent the day on my New York shit. Didn't even meet them once, and no, I'm not upset. I'm just another guy minding his business. But if I had to guess, I'd say whatever happened probably had to happen anyway. If crime's a definition, do your job and write it up. But find another motherfucker to harass. I'm getting tired of this redundancy rendition. Come on, you know the drill. These walls are thick. I got my own shit that I'm dealing with. I haven't seen or heard a thing. I never met him. That's the city. Good luck working it, Columbo. I'm a bounce. You got my info, but you'll never get my pity. And I'm out. If you kill him, I won't. After my regular alarm, a tongue as blade that resonated clear through thin constructed walls. After my first smoke, but before I copped the paper from Bodega, bumped into you in a stairwell in our shit constructed hall. All my New York shit is the customary bop. Don't talk to anyone, look forward, mind yourself, continue walk. The halls are thin and so is skin when bearing witness to the sounds you're generating every day. Guess it reminded me of something. It must have taken every muscle in your body to produce that little twitch you probably thought was passing muster for a smile. But trust, I recognize the gesture. I have seen it many times. I read the tells, I know the sacred art of bluffing. Maybe I shouldn't have, but as you passed, I stopped and put my hand on your left arm. The repo paused, that meant no harm. And you looked startled as I leaned into your ear and said the first and last thing ever to you. Do the thing you have to, and I swear I'll tell them nothing, nothing, nothing. If you kill him, I won't tell. If you kill him, I won't tell. If you kill him, I won't tell. If you kill him,
Yeah, Stephen Thompson here at NPR Music would say, that's a lot to unpack.
It is. Do you remember we did, we've been taking all songs considered on the road, and Jim DeRogatis played LP at our party in Chicago, and I was really taken by it. He also, LP, produced the Killer Mike record, and they're on tour together. They're playing New York coming up. They'll be in D.C.
And that's EL-P.
That's LP. Right, yeah, like El Producto, I think, was one of his names, and shortened to LP.
I'm going to play something completely different by a band called Jail, and they have a new record out called Traps. This is a group from Milwaukee, and they just have this fantastically infectious sound on this record. Listening to it, it feels sort of like the perfect summer record to me, and not summer in that it's super celebratory and, you know, it's not really a party record.
It's kind of bring me down summer record.
Well, you know, in the way that summer is fun but also fleeting, you know, it's we're often left at the end of the summer with this feeling of loss and wistfulness. You know, it was like it was fun, but you know it's temporary.
So don't have too much fun because it's only going to get you in the end.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of life.
So the record's called Traps. The band is Jail, and this song is called Madness. All the cuts on this record are just about 2.5-3 minutes long. It reminds me a little bit of the vibe. Do you know the Jonathan Richman record, I, Jonathan? It's got a cut on there called That Summer Feeling, and I feel this record from Jail has that same sort of jangly, wistful joy.
Yeah.
Really nice.
I was afraid it was going to bring me down, but it didn't.
No.
Good. So we've been doing this poll, and I've been quite taken and surprised.
So at the beginning of the summer, we asked ourselves a question. Is it possible to create a top 10 list of records that everyone can agree on?
Or at least a good chunk of
people. Most of us can agree on. And so every week we're putting up a list of 20 records for people to vote on. Just tell us whether or not you love it, or if you don't love it, or you haven't even heard it. We've had some very surprising results so far that have really challenged some of our assumptions, I think, with some of these records.
Yeah, I mean, because we start with sort of classic records, or at least records that we think are classic records, like, you know, all right, look, Dark Side of the Moon.
69% of people say they actually love it. Now, for me, I would think, you know, wow, that's... that's really low. I would think nearly everyone on the planet, except for our intern and Mike Katzeff and Otis Hart and a few other people I know, would love this record. But let's not even go with classics. Let's take something like Bon Iver's For Emma Forever Ago.
Right, a record we've played an awful lot and talked about an awful lot on this show.
Yeah. Has there been an artist? We have the Bon Iver jar. Every time we mention him, we have to put a nickel in it. And For Emma Forever Ago, a third of our audience has never even heard it. Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Nearly half have never heard Peter Gabriel's So record, which I think is one of the all-time greats. But if you take a record like Thriller, Thriller's the best-selling album ever worldwide.
Okay, where'd that fall?
Ever. Only 65% of the people who participated in the poll said that they love it. 65%. And that's the best-selling. Dark Side of the Moon is number two best-selling record ever, by the way, and that was 69%.
So we're going to put up another poll, but biggest surprise you think so far in what you've seen in these results?
So many. I think I might go with the fact that half of our audience has never even heard In the Aeroplane Over the Sea, a Neutral Milk Hotel record, which another one that I always assumed was huge.
Yeah.
At least in our world.
I had friends over the other day, and I showed them this, and they looked at that, and they said, I don't even know that.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, well, I guess we live in a bubble. It's nice in here, though.
Yeah, oh, it's a great bubble. So we're going to put up another poll. Let's play a couple of tunes that I'm going to pick one that for this poll that I think for sure is going to be one of the top 10 records that everyone...
You think it'll end up on our final list?
Absolutely. Ready?
Yep.
I don't think I even have to say what the title of this record is, but I'll say it's Pink Moon by Nick Drake.
I saw it written and I saw it say, Pink Moon is on its way. None of you stand so tall. Pink Moon, then I get you all on the Pink Moon. Yeah, Pink Moon. Pink, 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 pink. Pink Moon. Pink, 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 pink. Pink Moon.
Coming up on the 40th anniversary of that record.
Unbelievable.
It got its second wind in the late 90s when Volkswagen used it in an ad. Thank goodness, really.
Thank you, Volkswagen.
Yeah, because that record hardly sold when it came out.
Yeah,
and it was a third and final record. He took his life not too long after.
I just want to hear the whole thing now.
You know, permissions might be a problem, but let's think just a little bit in. Oh, my finger's going up. Oh!
I might have to give you that. I would not be surprised to see that one on the final list, the top 10 list. This next one maybe isn't as obvious, but this is another band and album we're going to put on the poll that goes up Tuesday. And it's the White Stripes. It's a record that really put them on the map, White Blood Cells.
All colors, pink and white.
Oh, yeah. See?
Life.
Oh. You just blew my mind.
Is there a red? There's a red album, a blue album, purple? Keep going. I'm visioning a rainbow. Don't know why.
I have no idea what you're talking
about.
What
happened?
White blood cells.
It's still recording.
So I want to play the opening cut that, With a Bullet, a song called Dead Leaves in the Dirty Ground by one of the all-time greats, the White Stripes album, White Blood Cells. Thanks, everybody. It's been a great show.
I think you're right. I think this could make it, too.
Yeah.
Let's see. Be proven.
It could. I don't know. It's maybe less obvious, but it's a good continuum.
But how about next week when we do the next show? Let's see how it did.
All right. We'll report back.
So go online, npr.org/allsongs, and look for our blog.
Yep. Yeah. We'll have it on the blog sometime Tuesday.
Right. And you can follow us on Twitter. We often, on all these blog posts, we let you know when they're up if you follow @allsongs.
And if you haven't voted in our previous polls, they're still online. And we'll have a link there for all the previous ones, and go back and vote on those.
Right.
Too.
We're just asking you if you like the record, you don't like it, or you never heard it. It's really
love
simple.
It, don't love it. Oh, never heard. Yeah. Let's be clear.
You're right.
Love.
You're right. Okay.
Love.
God, what a tone. Thank you, Jack.
Yeah. Seriously, thank you.
NPR Music. It's All Songs Considered.
Tell you what he loves the most.